conversations. It took a long time, almost the whole weekend and even yesterday, in compressing the traces, merging and sorting those traces from the whole.
Why don't you take like a small section of the trace and do what we needed to do?
Well, I already have the complete merged traces and ordered by sequence number, and I run a program that computes the longest sequence without holes, without missing records. To give some perspective, the longest sequence on all my traces is around 150,000 records.
Okay.
That is a small trace, a small set of operations. Because, for example, the small trace I was using to test my replayer was around 3 million records. And half a trace from Bear, which is the NFS server for graduate and staff and faculty, it's half a trace, it's around 36 million records.
Half day trace.
Yes. So the longest sequence I have is just 150.
And that too on a lightly loaded system.
Yes. Yes. So I ran the replay on that trace, on that sequence.
Segment.
Yes. And it has 100%
accuracy.
Yes.
Oh. But wow.
What I mean is, the trace is super small. I mean, that segment is so, so small.
How long does it take to run?
I don't have that time. I can have it.
But approximately?
A few minutes. The longest?
A few minutes.
Yes, what it really takes the most time is the creation of the file system.
Oh, okay. No, I'm talking about just
the replay. Is seconds.
Seconds.
Yeah.
Okay, so it certainly seems like you've been missing a lot of events.
Yes, I took an average of, I compute an average of how many, it's not like we lose a lot, but we lose a lot, not by having big holes. I mean, the holes are around, in average, in my traces. I haven't finished analyzing Daniel's, but mine, the average is like 8 records per hole. The thing is, we have a lot of holes.
Yes. Yeah, the length of the hole actually is not as important as the fraction of the holes.
Yes.
Total holes combined. And what is that number?
It's very variable.
Okay.
There are traces that are super big. It's like 85%.
Holes.
Yes.
Wow.
And there are traces that is like 11%.
Even that's not right.
But even with those, that it's very small.
When you say 11%, you're saying that is very small. Or no. Or something.
I mean,
you have something which...
Compared with traces that had 80% holes.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's, ridiculous. But 11% is very high.
Yes.
Even 11% is very high.
But even in those traces, we're expecting to have at least a longer sequence. And I don't.
Well, even in that, it's very distributed.
Yes.
Okay. Do you know in the module that Daniel wrote, what is the size of the buffer that we maintain?
No. I just was working with the...
Okay. So I think that the next step is to actually fix the module and add it and improve it so that we can collect more traces.
Yes. Yes. So I was thinking that that was the reason why I wanted to have the size of the hole, like for knowing how much should I increase your buffer?
Yeah. And it's more like the maximum size of the buffer before you start dropping packets. And the reason we drop packets is mainly because we didn't want to explore the memory requirement of this module.
Okay.
But we might have been way too conservative or picked a really small buffer memory usage for the module.
You say
you could email Daniel also so that you get more quick progress.
Okay.
At least in finding out some of this information and trying to create a new version of the module.
Okay.
So I think that should be your next step because...
Yes, definitely.
The thing is, what Humberto just showed me a replay using the RC, so he did the whole thing.
Okay.
Now he can replay traces using the Wisconsin RC replayer.
Okay.
So he wrote a converter that converts our trace format into what the RC needs. It converts our file system information into the file system information that the RC program needs, but he tested with just the first 100 records across all the cores of Dirch, which is your machine?
Daniel's
machine. So first 100 records across all the cores, just merged them and he was able to replay it with RC.
Yeah. I mean, it's a good step.
It's actually showed that whatever he did is correct.
Yeah.
Because if you have a correct trace, it actually, the whole cycle is completed, which is what you also did with your replayer, except that your replayer is not yet timing accurate and it's not multi-threaded. So those are improvements that you need to make as well. But in parallel, I think getting more accurate, actually correct traces is also very important.
Yes.
So I think you have to work on both of these directions in parallel.
Yes. Exactly. That was what you said about the replayer, the module having a very small memory requirement. That is because you're trying to say that we don't want the tracer to be to have a significant impact on the whatever we're tracing, right?
Yes, exactly. So the tracer consumes all the system memory just to store its records. Then this whatever system it's trying to trace, will slow down.
Right. So I should try to keep that as minimum as possible. That memory requirement.
The memory requirement should be low, but certainly we were too conservative.
Okay.
Because we lost lots and lots of records. Right?
Yes.
So that needs to be somehow optimized. Because I don't think we use compression. One way to reduce the amount of memory is compression. Compression requires CPU.
Right.
So it may not be like any serious compression, it could be something simple like an encoding for a scheme
for
each trace record.
Yeah.
Okay. So those are, it may already be in some encoded form.
Yes.
But it may be in ASCII, for instance, and if you could convert that into binary in some way, that could save you space. And that might end up saving you a lot of space, actually. So that's because we don't want lossy compression, we want lossless compression, right? So two directions with respect to the module. One is to figure out a way to reduce the gaps to zero in our sequence numbers, whichever way we pick. Right? So that's one direction. Second direction is to get return values.
Mm-hmm.
Because one of the issues with using the RC replayer is that we don't have return values. And, having return points will also help us to make a better replayer along the lines of RC because it takes into account dependencies.
Yeah.
which operations are issued in parallel. We sort of are able to do that to some extent just by looking at the thread ID, right?
Mm-hmm.
And having the same thread issue, we could.
Yes.
We don't have that yet, but right now we have only one thread
mm-hmm.
inside the replayer. But ideally, we need to have a bunch of different threads.
And something else. Well, I haven't seen their code, but they also get the timestamp for entry point of the system call and timestamp of exit point. So that's something else that they say they use to get the dependencies order.
Yes, exactly. So the dependencies are derived in a specific way in RC. I think it's a conservative way because you may find more dependencies than actually exist. But one thing which I do want you to do is to write an email to Daniel to get his feedback on the problem you're facing.
Okay.
Write a detailed email because he knows about the module, he wrote the module, and this is problematic for us because we actually use the traces to build a case for the unblocking bytes work. And now we find that the traces are actually not, the integrity of the traces is not good.
Right, but it
does
doesn't,
it? Yeah.
It's not like the trace, it's not like what we said from unblocking bytes for that case is completely wrong. It's just that it might even have some different numbers.
Yeah, I mean, it may be completely wrong because we have wrong traces. Like what we are saying in that...
Incomplete.
Yeah, we have incomplete traces. What we are saying is that the fraction of writes, which are partial page overwrites, is X.
Right.
When it, in fact, it could be Y, and X could, Y could be very different than X.
Right.
If we have the entire trace. You're kind of assuming that the gaps are proportionately distributed across all the types of operations.
Right.
Right?
Should I analyze those traces? The ones we use for non-blocking rights paper, and say how many calls or mission operations we have there.
If it's easy enough for you, if it's not going to take a lot of time, because I don't want you to be spending a lot of time doing that.
No, I already have the program.
So you could run in the background.
Yeah.
Okay. Sure. Yeah.
Just to have an idea.
We already have it for some of those traces, right?
For the ones for me and them. But, I mean, our traces are not as...
But they are the two of the traces of the paper.
Yes.
We have a total of 8 traces, I think. So we're missing 6.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, sure. I mean, if it's something that you can let it run in the background and collect the data, sure. Let's do that. But I think the more critical piece for you right now is to fix the module so that we can collect more traces which are, you know, have better integrity.
Okay. Yes.
The first thing to do is to test it on your machine and
mm-hmm.
make sure that you have no gaps with whatever new module you come up with.
Yes. Yes.
I'm really surprised that there are so many gaps. Could it be that the user level process that's trying to pick up from the kernel and send it over the network is slow? It's not fast enough to be pulling all the time? That could be it. That it's not being pulled out at the right time.
The time gap between every time it pulls?
Mm-hmm.
I could check that.
Yeah, check that. Okay, so why don't you do a little bit of research on this question?
Okay.
And then we can have a discussion on Friday.
Good.
Yeah, and in the meantime, let's get Daniel's input. Write him an email, also include me in that email, okay?
Sure. Okay.
Anything else, Hector?
No, I was going to propose you exactly that, to work on the model, because it's, I mean, I still need to improve the replayer in many things, but the thing that was
like, causing you trouble
is
something that we need to deal with.
Yes.
And once when we fix that, then a lot of the things that causing you trouble go away.
Yeah.
Yeah. Agreed. Yeah. Good.